RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, week in review, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miss Eleni. We'll conclude our program for today with listeners' mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian government encourages more people to contest elections. State-owned oil and gas firm Pertamina increases prices of non-subsidized fuels. Yusuf Kala reminds on danger of radical understanding spread. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian government remains optimistic that more people will register to contest the December 9 regional elections following a decision to extend the registration period. Currently, 7 regions in the country that are scheduled to hold regional elections only have 1 ticket, which could result in balloting being delayed until 2017. Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Tejo Edi Purdiatno said, hope that the condition changes and the problem of sole tickets can be solved. President Joko Widodo has delayed issuing a government regulation in lieu of law, Perpu, to address the problem of single tickets running in regional elections in several regions, pending a General Elections Commission KPU decision to extend the registration deadline from August 9 to 11 in the 7 regions. The government, Tejo added, has urged political parties in the region to look for more candidates. The 7 regions with only 1 ticket to have registered for the elections are Tasikmalaya in West Java, Blitar and Pacitan in East Java, North Timor Tengah Regency in East Nusa Tenggara, Surabaya in East Java, Samarinda in East Kalimantan, and Mataram in West Nusa Tenggara. 2 provinces in Indonesia and Egypt in the near future will conduct cooperation in the Sister City program. The 2 provinces, namely the Special Region Yogyakarta, Indonesia, with Ismailia, Egypt, as well as the capital Jakarta with Cairo. Head of Information, Social and Cultural of Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Lauti Suteja, said that in 1991, Yogyakarta with Ismailia have signed a cooperation so that this year will be the renewal of the cooperation agreement. Because these 2 provinces have mutual need and exchanging knowledge, Yogyakarta has the advantage as a province in Indonesia that there are many creative industry, in particular the manufacture of handicrafts and ecotourism. While Ismailia has excellence in agriculture despite having little water. While Lauti further said, the sister city program between Jakarta and Cairo will beneficial to people of both cities. Cairo can learn from Jakarta on the urban community development plans, waste management, while Jakarta can learn from Cairo about the development of the old city as a major tourist destination.
Kita menyadari bahwasanya
we realize that Egypt and Indonesia have mutual need of investment, have mutual need of trade relations. For reactivation, we need a complementary relationship. Yogyakarta is famous for its creative industry. Also, tourist villages are developing in Yogyakarta. While Ismailia is famous in agriculture and known as producer of agriculture products that can be exported despite having little water.
The cooperation between the Yogyakarta with Ismailia just waiting to be signed. Then a joint committee will be formed that will work for next 3 years. While the cooperation between Cairo and Jakarta, a memorandum of understanding will be signed this year. After putting its plan on hold for a few months, state-owned oil and gas firm Pertamina finally raised the prices of its non-subsidized fuels to cope with higher import costs caused by local currency depreciation. According to an announcement on its website on Friday, the firm increased the price of its main special fuel product, Pertamax, with an octane rating of 92, technically known as RON 92, by 150 rupiah or 1 US cent to 9,450 rupiah per liter in Greater Jakarta, Banten, and West Java. In addition to this, it has also pushed up the price of another special product, Pertamax Plus, by 200 rupiah to 1,500 rupiah. Pertamina Corporate Communication Vice President Wianda Pusponegoro said that the increase was inevitable as the firm had struggled to keep the prices steady amid an upward trend in market prices in the past month. She attributed the stronger dollar, which had put pressure on import costs, as the major determinant behind the hike. Pertamina normally changes the prices of its non-subsidized fuel products, including Pertamax, every 2 weeks. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla emphasized the importance of education that must continue to develop in appropriate time. This is to anticipate the danger of the spread of incorrect understanding. Yusuf Kalla, while attending the summit of 33rd anniversary of Modern Islamic Boarding School Assalam, Sukoharjo, Central Java on Saturday. Yusuf Kalla said the spread of radical ideology of the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria ISIS as one case. According to Yusuf Kalla, radical education imposed old patterns that no longer suitable with current condition. Yusuf Kalla also support Assalam Modern Boarding School effort in order to contribute to the Indonesian people both in religious education and general knowledges. Indonesia is now open to joining the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement following U.S. President Barack Obama's victory in a congressional battle over the pact, the country's chief economic minister, Sofian Jalil, said recently. Sofian said the government of Southeast Asia's largest economy was initially opposed to joining the Trans-Pacific Partnership but has had a change of heart since legislation vital to securing the deal was passed by the U.S. Senate in June. Sofian said Trans-Pacific Partnership is now getting closer and closer to reality and now the option is to join it or you're left out. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry expressed confidence on Friday that the pact could be completed this year even though countries involved failed to overcome fights over auto trade, dairy goods and next-generation drugs in their latest negotiations. Sofian said that Indonesia, whose export have contracted every month since last October due to a drop in commodities, is now studying the potential impact of TPP on its foreign trade. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Minister of Education and Culture Anies Baswedan inaugurated the Indonesian School in Johor Bahru, Malaysia on Saturday. The Indonesian school in Johor Bahru is expected to accommodate children of Indonesian citizens or Indonesian workers in the region of Johor, Malacca, Seremban, and its surroundings. The schools that began in early 2014 accommodates 163 pupils, consisting of grade 1 to 6 of elementary schools and grade 7 and 8 of junior high school. It is expected that in 2015 there will be a graduation for primary school. Anies Baswedan confirmed that the Education and Culture Ministry will hold talks with Malaysian government in relation with school opportunities for children of Indonesian workers who do not have documents. The Indonesian Consulate General in New York holds sport matches among Indonesian citizens and Indonesian diaspora, a series of commemoration events of Indonesian 70th Independence Day on Saturday. Many Indonesian citizens and diaspora participated in the event, both adult and children. The Consul General of the Republic of Indonesia in New York, Gafur Dharmaputra, stated that the match was not aimed at showing of forces but as a means to tie Indonesian brotherhood.
Sifatnya bukan pertandingan untuk menang-menangan.
It was not to show of force, but the spirit is to strengthen relation among citizens together and various things about Indonesia are here. I think the most important thing is to meet each other and to maintain such effort. In addition to sport matches, the serial event was also enlivened by Indonesian culinary. Such celebration, according to Gafur, was meant to cure their longing on their beloved homeland.
Selama kita kumpul-kumpul,
as long as we together and taste our culinary, that was the time for us to remember our homeland. That is the most important thing to maintain our relation with the elders and those who were born here in the United States. The series event to commemorate Indonesian 70th Independence Day has begun since weeks ago and will be closed by the peak event, namely the Indonesian Street Festival, on next August 22nd. The last item. An Indonesian Marine Expedition team will raise the national flag on Carlton's Peak, the highest peak of Jayawijaya Mountains in Papua. On the country's Independence Day on August 17th, the Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Indroyono Susilo, during a discharge ceremony at the Marines headquarters in Cilandak, South Jakarta on Saturday, escorted by Tempo.co, the red and white flag will be raised there to prove the Indonesia's sovereignty below the sea as well as on top of the mountain. Led by Lieutenant Colonel Ferry Marpaung, the expedition team comprises 19 Marine officers, 10 Tram Club hiking community members, and 6 journalists. They depart on Sunday and scheduled to return on August 21st. That was the news.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back with me, Dee, in our weekly segment News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Bangli Regency, Bali Province. Yayasan Wisnu Foundation and National Traditional People Alliance holds Festival Nusantara in Lake Batur area, Bangli Regency, Bali on August 8 to 17, 2015. President of Festival Nusantara 2015, Ngurah Paramarta, said in Kuta last Wednesday that the annual festival is a meeting forum of writers, creative workers, as well as cultural and historical activists. This festival is a meeting between groups and communities to open dialogue of cultural works with public. Through the dialogue, understanding between individuals and cultural communities is expected to be built to redefine the local heritage and raise historical awareness. This festival is participated by various elements from the government, community figures, village representatives and heads of villages, art community, NGOs, fine art workers, cultural observers, academicians, students, and teachers. Listener, still from Bali Province, 21 Seka Gong, Balinese traditional percussion musical instrument group, enlivened the opening of Buleleng Festival 2015 on Tuesday, August 4, 2015 in Buleleng Regency. In the Gong Kebiar Parade, all Seka Gong group members played the instrument all together. It is a new thing in Gong Kebiar art. Gong Kebiar is usually played by taking turn with two Seka players. Head of Buleleng Culture and Tourism Service, Gede Suyasa, said that through the festival, the service wants to awaken the art of Gong Kebiar in Bali.
all Sekagong players should prepare dancers to perform Teruna Jaya Dance and Wiran Jaya Dance. Teruna Jaya Dance represents the pride of East Buleleng people, while Wiran Jaya Dance represents the icon of West Buleleng people. Buleleng Festival 2015 was held until August 8. Listener, the last news comes from the city of Surabaya, East Java. Students of 17 Agustus 1945 University in Surabaya, Happy Tri Pamungkas, created Android-based piano learning application for children to make them love playing musical instrument. Happy said that this application is not only for playing piano, but also for learning it from the basic and the history of piano. He hoped that the application will encourage children to play piano without paying teachers. Listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Dinu Graha. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with August 9, 1945, atomic bomb hits Nagasaki. The atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan, were nuclear attacks that occurred in World War II against the Empire of Japan by the United States under President Harry S. Truman. On August 9, 1945, a nuclear bomb nicknamed Fat Man was dropped on Nagasaki. A total of 80,000 people were killed at the end of 1945. Since then, thousands have died as a result of injury or illness associated with the radiation released by the bombs. 6 days after the dropping of the atomic bomb on Nagasaki on August 15, Japan announced its surrender unconditionally to the Allies, signed on September 2, officially ending the Pacific War and World War II. Turning to August 9, 1945, Sukarno, Muhammad Hatta, and Rajiman Widyoningrat fly to Vietnam to discuss the independence of Indonesia. As a result of the U.S. bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan became more helpless. Indonesia, which was under the Japanese occupation, saw this as a fresh win for the independence of the country. General Terauchi, who was the commander of Japanese forces in Southeast Asia, called Sukarno, Muhammad Hatta, and Rajiman Widyoningrat to come to his headquarters in Dalat, Vietnam. The delegation of Indonesian leaders went to Dalat, Vietnam on August 9, 1945. They had a meeting with General Terauchi on August 11. During the meeting, General Terauchi stated that the Japanese imperial government decided to grant independence to Indonesia, but Indonesia refused to be given independence by Japan and proclaimed its independence on August 17, 1945. We end with the event on August 9, 1965, Singapore's independence. Singapore declared its independence from Britain in August 1963 and joined the Federation of Malaysia in September of the same year. However, Singapore was expelled from the Federation as a result of a heated ideological conflict between the Singapore government and the federal government in Kuala Lumpur. Singapore officially gained sovereignty on August 9, 1965. Yusof bin Ishak was sworn in as president and Lee Kuan Yew became the first prime minister of the Republic of Singapore. Well, that was Today in History of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is highlight of the week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with me, Dee. Entitled, The Government Proposes Article on Contempt of President to the House. Listener, the Indonesian government has proposed 786 articles in the amended Bill of the Criminal Code, or KUHP, to the Indonesian House of Representatives, or DPRRI, to be approved to become the criminal code law. From hundreds of the proposed articles, the Indonesian President Joko Widodo included an article about contempt on President and Vice President. The article has actually been removed by the Constitutional Court because it is considered constitutionally opposed to Article 28, the first one of the Constitution, UUD 1945. The amendment of criminal code law, which is the initiative of the government, has been proposed to the House since the period of 2009 to 2014, and it is now addressed again. However, article on contempt, which has been cancelled before now, it is addressed again by the current administration. Commissioner of the House now registers the list of related inventory about the bill. Regarding the amendment of criminal code law, President Joko Widodo said at Bogor Palace last Wednesday that the inclusion of article on the contempt of president in the criminal code bill protects those who often criticize the government in a good way for the sake of public interest. Principally, President Joko Widodo gave it to the House to take decision on the article. Meanwhile, the Speaker of People Consultative Assembly, or MPR, Zulkifli Hasan, evaluated that the proposal of article on President by President Joko Widodo in the draft of criminal code law is inappropriate. According to him, it is common that a state official is criticized. Even so, Zulkifli Hasan said that the proposal is allowed. Besides, it will go through discussions at the House. However, it is potential to stir debate because it will repeat the article which has been cancelled. In the meantime, the House Deputy Speaker Fahri Hamzah stated that including article on contempt on President and Vice President as well as the amendment of criminal code law by the government is the setback of democracy. The Constitutional Court evaluated that the article proposal could hamper communication and information access on the rights of expressing thought. The amended criminal code law mentioned in details about anyone who insults president and vice president is imprisoned for 5 years or fined based on category 4 in Article 263 and 264. Listener, that ends highlights of the week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here is Week in Review, featuring several events that happening during this week. Stay tuned. Listener, we start from Sunday, August 2, 2015. The Indonesian delegation will bring seven main issues to be discussed in the 48th ASEAN Ministerial Meeting, held from August 1 to 6 in Putra World Trade Center, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia, Herman Prayetno, said to media at Wisma Duta Besar Kuala Lumpur, from the seven issues, there are two issues that become focus of the Indonesian delegation, namely migrant workers and illegal fishing. Two major issues will be discussed because 3 million Indonesian migrant workers work in Malaysia. 50% of them are migrant workers without valid documents or undocumented. Meanwhile, about the problem of illegal fishing, Herman Prayetno said that for so long, the sea border issues between Indonesia and Malaysia are still unclear, so people from the two nations could make a lot of activities at the sea with no punishment. Herman said the unclear sea borders also needs to be discussed among ASEAN member countries, especially to the countries which do not have definitive boundary lines. On Monday, August 3, President Joko Widodo, during a speech in the Declaration of the Export Increasing Movement at the Container Terminal PT Pelindo 4 Makassar, as exporters to open up new markets and take advantage the weakening of the rupiah against the US dollar.
President mentions a few countries in Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, and other countries provide opportunities for commodities and products from Indonesia. As quoted by Antara, the president also feels proud with the increase in production and export of South Sulawesi that are heavily increased amid the world economy weakened currently. According to President Joko Widodo, the rupiah in the numbers of 13,400 to 13,1500 rupiah per US dollar actually very good for export. Still on Monday, 1 year after the crash of the Malaysian MH17 airliner in southeastern Ukraine on July 14, 2014, which also carried Indonesian citizens, the United Nations Security Council considered an initiative proposed by a number of countries, including the Netherlands and Malaysia, to establish an international tribunal for the prosecution of those implicated in the tragedy. On the other hand, Russia, which is the neighboring country of Ukraine, filed objection against the tribunal as the investigation on the plane crash carried out by a joint team is considered biased. Alexander Silin, Russian Chargé d'Affaires to Indonesia, told Voice of Indonesia on Monday that the Russian government proposed a special representative of the United Nations Secretary General Envoy to guarantee the tragedy's transparent investigation.
The current criminal investigation is conducted by the so-called Joint Investigation Team. The member states of this team are Australia, Belgium, Malaysia, the Netherlands, and Ukraine. For this reason, we cannot be sure about how unbiased the investigation is. We proposed to introduce a position of a special UN Secretary General Envoy on this issue to ensure a really transparent and international investigation.
The Russian government, through its permanent representative at the UN, Vitaly Charkin, confirmed that the Red Bear country vetoed the UN Security Council on establishment of a tribunal over the Malaysia Airlines MH17 crash. In addition, Alexander Silin stated that the Russian government is ready to provide assistance for the incident investigation.
And we would like to stress that the Russian side has done its best to determine the reasons of the MH17 crash. We are fully ready to provide all possible assistance from the very beginning of this process. We were fully ready to provide our experts. We even declassified the technical data of some of our missiles. So we are ready, the Russian side is ready to assist a full, independent and unbiased investigation of this tragedy.
All 298 passengers, including 12 Indonesian citizens and crew on board flight MH17, died when the plane, which flew from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur, was shot down in Ukraine's southeastern Donetsk region on July 17th last year. On Tuesday, August 4th, the basic assumptions in the draft 2016 state budget should be set realistically in line with the latest economic developments. It was said by President Joko Widodo while chairing a plenary cabinet session in Jakarta on Tuesday. The cabinet meeting discussed the amount of funds to be allocated in the draft 2016 state budget and the simplification of the Social Assistance Fund program for 2016. At the meeting, which was also attended by Vice President Yusuf Kalla, President Joko Widodo called to give special attention to managing subvention funds. He also pointed out that the amount of funds transferred to regions, including budget allocations for villages, will be higher than budget for ministries and government institutions in 2016. On the same day Tuesday, the World Grand Event Special Olympics World Games 2015, on July 25th to August 2nd in Los Angeles, the United States, has ended. Press release of Public Relations, the Ministry of Social, Tuesday said the Indonesian contingent offered 19 gold, 12 silvers, and 5 bronzes. It is not easy to fight and defend the country through sport competitions, especially for persons with intellectual disability in the world level, because the event was attended by 177 countries and 7,000 athletes. Indonesian contingent thanked all the parties that support the Special Olympics World Games event.
the contingents on Tuesday were greeted by Social Minister Kofifa Indar Parawansa at Soekarno-Hatta Airport, Cengkareng, Jakarta. On Wednesday, August 5th, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Elpe Marsudi re-emphasized the importance of the protection for migrant worker rights, which in the last 6 years cannot be resolved by ASEAN Committee on Migrant Workers. Indonesian government's assertion has submitted in a plenary session of the 48th ASEAN Foreign Affairs Minister meeting on Tuesday at the Putra World Trade Center Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Minister Retno, in a press conference on the sidelines of the plenary session, said besides the migrant worker issues, the leaders of ASEAN member countries should resolve illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing.
Sampai sejauh ini sudah 6 tahun berjalan.
Until now, the committee has been working for 6 years, but until now the issues are still unsolved. Therefore, Indonesia remind them the importance of the protection of the ASEAN migrant worker rights when we want to make ASEAN beneficial to the people. Another issue submitted by Indonesia is illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing. Indonesia encourages ASEAN to explore the possibility for ASEAN to have the legal instruments in combating the illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing. Minister Retno said, besides the migrant workers and illegal fishing, Indonesia conveys the importance of ASEAN centrality, membership of Timor-Leste in ASEAN, and as for the ASEAN member countries, to support Indonesia to be an impermanent member of the UN Security Council for the period 2019-2020. Meanwhile, in a retreat meeting, Indonesia talked about the regional architecture, peace and stability in the region, the full and effective implementation of the Code of Conduct in the South China Sea, the irregular movement of people, as well as maritime cooperation. On Thursday, August 6, former Vice President Budiono said the journey of Indonesia's 70-year-old will determine the future for the last thousands of years. Budiono added that the proclamation of independence on August 17, 1945 has brought the 70-year-old Indonesian nation in 2015. Budiono added, there are two challenges this nation forward. Firstly, is how to build the capacity of the nation to have a strong resilience, in a sense can survive or survive in the passing of risk in the nation. According to Budiono, the construction or the achievement of the people's welfare, especially in alleviating poverty and promote education, must be going well to know there is a step backward. The second challenge should focus on steps aimed at strengthening the foundations for long-term in the course of the nation. Budiono believed, based on the experience that occurred, Indonesian people are able to walk well, even though many things that need to be repaired. On Friday, August 7th, August the 8th is celebrated as the Association of Southeast Asian Nations or ASEAN Day. Even ASEAN has become a place to unite countries in the region. However, in the context of uniting its society, Indonesia is considered to have the greatest challenge because it is an archipelagic country. So it requires massive connectivity among the community in the archipelago. It was stated by Director of ASEAN Cooperation, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, I Gusti Agung Wesaka Puja, to RRI in Malaysia.
Bagi Indonesia, karena Indonesia adalah penduduk yang terbesar di ASEAN.
For Indonesia, because Indonesia has the largest population in the ASEAN region, it has the biggest challenge to build unity. It has much greater challenge to build the ASEAN community ownership than the other ASEAN countries with much smaller communities. That's what we really need to strengthen. Of course, in the context of the connectivity. Connectivity is imperative to build a strong Indonesian economy because the connectivity of a prioritizing project because Indonesia is an archipelagic country compared to other ASEAN countries as they are landlocked countries. They can easily build connectivity, but for Indonesia, the biggest homework is to build maritime connectivity. Igusti Agung Wesakapuja also said that there are three concepts of physical connectivity, such as building infrastructure, unifying the sea, as the sea is not separation, but as a unifier, which requires physical infrastructure. Secondly, is institutional connectivity, namely how to harmonize the existing regulations and agreements in ASEAN with the existing regulations in Indonesia, so as avoiding overlapping. Thirdly, is connectivity among communities, including tourism, in which how we can develop equal tourism in ASEAN. Listener, that was the weekend review.
Voice of Indonesia, keeping dignity alive.
Welcome to News in Brief. The Indonesian government remains optimistic that more people will register to contest the December 9 regional elections following a decision to extend the registration period. Two provinces in Indonesia and Egypt in the near future will conduct cooperation in the Sister City program. The two provinces, namely the special region Yogyakarta, Indonesia, with Ismailia, Egypt, as well as the capitals Jakarta and with Cairo. After putting its plan on hold for a few months, state-owned oil and gas firm Pertamina finally raised the prices of its non-subsidized fuels to cope with higher import costs caused by local currency depreciation. The Indonesian Consulate General in New York holds board meetings among Indonesian citizens and Indonesian diaspora, a series of commemoration event of Indonesian 70th Independence Day on Saturday. That was News in Brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, to the frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miss Lenny.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Thank you.
This is Radio Reward Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will discuss the traditional game of sack race, or in Bahasa Indonesia, Balap Karung. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. On August 17, 2015, Indonesia will mark the 70th anniversary of independence. In celebrating the Independence Day, people in various regions throughout the country always hold a variety of activities, one of which is the sack race. The traditional game is very popular that it always appears in the independence celebration on August 17 every year. According to the story, the traditional sack race game has existed since the Dutch colonial time. At schools established by missionaries from Holland then, they usually held a sack race at any celebration related to the Royal Kingdom of the Netherlands. Initially, the game was for school-age children between 6 to 12 years. Then it spread to villages, and children in the villages also often play it in traditional events. Eventually, this game became widely known to the public. Not only children, adults also enjoy playing this traditional sack race and still prevail to this day. To play the traditional game of sack race, there are some requirements, such as the sack used is the one which was contained with rice or wheat, with a capacity of 50 kilograms. There must be a yard or vacant land having a length of approximately 15 to 20 meters and has a width of 3 to 4 meters. In the game, participants can be 4 or 6 people in each race. The game can be done in a relay or individual race. When the game is done individually, each participant will compete to run or rather jump in sacks from the starting line to the finish line. The participant who reaches the finish line is the fastest and he is the winner. Whereas if the game is done by a team, then the game is done in the relay sack race. That is, when one player has reached the finish, he or she had to turn back to the starting line, and after reaching it, he or she will be followed by other players to turn back towards the finish line and to the starting line, followed by the next players and so on, until the last player successfully reaches the starting line first. Sack race relay is very hilarious and undoubtedly inviting laughter from the audience. There are always members of the team who are in such a hurry that they fall or make funny movements. Games relay is also useful to establish collaboration and cohesion among team members. Therefore, relay sack race game is sometimes also used to train the teamwork in outbound activities. That was Indonesian Wonder today, which introduced the traditional game of sack race.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, custom and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition is on the International Day of World's Indigenous Peoples in 2015. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. The International Day of the World's Indigenous People is celebrated on August the 9th each year to recognize the first UN Working Group on Indigenous Populations meeting in Geneva in 1982. On December 23, 1994, the UN General Assembly decided that the International Day of the World's Indigenous People should be observed on August the 9th annually during the International Decade of the World's Indigenous People. In 2004, the Assembly proclaimed the second International Decade of the World's Indigenous People, that is from 2005 to 2014. The Assembly also decided to continue observing the International Day of Indigenous People annually during the second decade. The decade's goal was to further strengthen international cooperation for solving problems faced by indigenous peoples in areas such as culture, education, health, human rights, the environment, and social and economic development. The International Day of the World's Indigenous People celebrations in Indonesia was held for the first time in 2012. This year, it is being held in Batur, Kintamani, Bali Island. The event, which is taking place on August the 8th until August the 17th, was enlivened by Nusantara Festival in 2015 and opened by the President of Indonesia, Joko Widodo, as well as the UN Special Rapporteur, Victoria Tauli-Karpus. The theme this year is Post-2015 Agenda, Ensuring Indigenous People's Health and Well-Being. Second Deputy Secretary General of the National Indigenous Peoples Alliance, Ruka Sombolingi, said the theme is very important because everything owned by indigenous peoples are purely from nature, such as water is taken from the river and medicinal ingredients from the forest. Therefore, Ruka reminded the importance of government's role in conflict resolution between environmental forests and indigenous peoples. Chairman of Nusantara Festival in 2015, Imade Suarnata said 500 international guests have confirmed attendance, including representatives of indigenous peoples of Peru. Last June, the National Indigenous Peoples Alliance held a meeting with President Jokowi to discuss the formation of an Indigenous Peoples Task Force. Andi Wijayanto, the Cabinet Secretary, said that it was in the process of finalization for submission to the President. He explained one of the main functions of the Indigenous People Task Force is to protect indigenous peoples in their activities related to the land use. He asked relevant parties to actively participate in the formation of Indigenous Peoples Act. He added that in preparing this task force, discussions with civil society organizations who care about the environment and indigenous peoples had been held. The task force will guard the protection for indigenous peoples in utilizing, preserving, and conserving lands that are important to people's life. Commitment to the protection of indigenous peoples has been declared since the beginning by President Jokowi as contained in Nawacita or 9 agenda or targets of the President. Among priorities in the protection and promotion of indigenous rights in Nawacita are reviewing and adjusting the entire legislation to the recognition, the respect, protection, and promotion of the rights of indigenous peoples. To continue the process of legislation so the Bill on Recognition and Protection of the Rights of Indigenous People is set as the Act, the House, the Alliance, and other components of civil society have formed a special independent commission. It was given a special mandate from the president to prepare a variety of institutional and policy relating to the recognition, respect, protection, and promotion of the rights of indigenous peoples in the future. The National Indigenous Peoples Alliance hoped the task force decision could be announced by the president on the celebration of the anniversary of the International Indigenous Peoples. Well, that was Ms. Leni with information about the International Day of World's Indigenous Peoples. Thank you for listening. Until tomorrow with another edition of Ms. Leni.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia. Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Guimidi Mohamed in Algeria. He has sent his email dated July 18, 2015. Hello, Mr. Guimidi Mohamed. Welcome to the club. We are glad to receive your email, which said that you love to hear Indonesian radio. We hope you can tell or give criticism about our radio to make progress in the future. So, what is your favorite programs? We'll try to maintain our program for our listeners' satisfaction. Well, Mr. Guimidi Mohamed, we are looking forward to receiving your next email with your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you very much. Listener, before we continue to answer emails, we'll introduce you to one of Indonesian singers, Alika. Karis Alika Islamadina, or usually called Alika, born in Sydney, Australia, June 24, 1994, is an Indonesian singer. She received gold medal from Olympic World Choir in 2006 in Xiamen, China, together with Alpha's Music Choir. She has begun her career when she participated in a singing competition which was held by Indonesian private television. One of Indonesian composers, Alpha Sosoria, is interested in composing a song to her. Then Alika released her single entitled Sahabat Tersayang, or Beloved Best Friends, and received 3 AMI awards, namely the Best Kid Singer, the Best Kid Album, and also the Best Kid Song Composition in 2006. Listener, that was a glimpse about one of Indonesian singers, Alika. And before we play another song by Alika, we will reply an email from Mr. Abdul Razak. He is the chairman of Japan Bangladesh Listener Club in Bangladesh. In his email, Mr. Abdul Razak said that he and his club are our broadcast regular listeners and our website visitors. And according to him, our web page is very nice. Hello, Mr. Abdul Razak. Thank you for your attention and also your appreciation on our broadcast. Thank you very much for your email. So please keep listening to our broadcast and keep sending your reception reports. Thank you. Listener, now we continue to reply an email from Muhammad Salim Akhtar in Pakistan. Hello, Mr. Muhammad Salim Akhtar. Thank you for your email dated July the 3rd, 2015. And also, thank you for your compliments. As you said that you are a teacher, and as a teacher, we hope you can get benefit and also knowledge as well as information from Voice of Indonesia. We also try to give actual information about politics. And for your information, our wonderful quiz, Wonderful Indonesia Quiz, will close on August 10, 2015, and it is only one day left. So, what are you waiting for? Send your answers as soon as possible. If you are lucky, you will be chosen as the winner.
Well, Mr. Muhammad Salim Akhtar, special for you and also other regular listeners, we will play a beautiful song from Alika entitled GR. Let's check it out.
Mungkinkah adanya api cinta antara kita? Apakah ini pertanda tumbuhnya benih-benih cinta? Hari demi hari berlalu, raguku dibuatmu beribu tanya di hati. Apakah dirimu rasakan yang sama? Mungkinkah
listener, that was another hit by Alika, GR. Unfortunately, we have to sign off. We appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id. Or you can also send to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and also like our fan pages, our fan page on Facebook, namely Voice of Indonesia. Or you can also follow our Twitter @voiindonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Listener, we are organizing Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015 and we have aired the questions. You can join the quiz by answering the questions. Who knows, you are one of the lucky winners to win the grand prize, namely visiting Indonesia for free. And for further information, you can visit www.vui.co.id. You don't have to worry if you don't have passports, just send your answers. We'll provide additional prizes for those who cannot win the first prize. Don't forget to send your entry. The quiz will end on August 10, 2015. The first prize winners will be invited to Indonesia in September 2015. So hurry up before the quiz ends. I'm Anya Sana. Thank you for listening. And we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program.
or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.